The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 491. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
Hello.
All right, people, we're back with another one. A little short on the cast today. Chris is actually celebrating his wife's birthday, Kristen, who was our lovely moderator for some time. So shout out to her, you know. As far as Richard Bailey, we don't know. We don't know what's going on with Richard, you know.
Rich is the gypsy now. He's all over the place.
Yeah, and Brett, we don't know what's going on. He may still be healing. Like my man, take your time, man. You get needle shoved into your fucking back, rest, you know. But we are here. We're going to hold it down, man. We got some good stuff to talk about. But I do want to say this right off the bat because it was brought up in the Discord. Shout out to Mob Hits. No, we will, in fact, not be talking about the Dr. Disrespect thing. That's legit the biggest thing in gaming. It's just all over Twitter. Content creators all talking about it. We're not. Like I said in the chat, and that's me and Manny talked about before, we never talked about this dude before. We ain't starting now, you know? We're not in the business of getting into, you know, fucking influencer drama. So fuck that, you know? Sometimes we got to roast these idiots, obviously, when they're breaking embargoes, shit like that. But other than that, I'm not getting into the shit. So I would apologize, but I'm not. I don't want to talk about this fucking guy, clown. I'm like, man, bring back Keith Apicary. That's the kind of guy I want to see, you know? That crazy dude. That's who I thought Dr. Disrespect was at first. Like, is he Keith Apicary? But he's not. Anyway, so that's all I'm going to say on that subject. But we do have some stuff to talk about. The first one I want to get to, and this is more for me and Carlos here, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree gets updated to make it quote unquote easier. I don't know about that, you know. So let me read this here. So basically they were just, you know, they're basically saying like you collect these I can't pronounce it. What Sardu tree? What the fuck you call those, Carlos? You know what I'm talking about.
The Sardu tree fragments? Yeah.
I'm going to just call them blessings from now, you know, which they are, the Sardu tree blessings. So basically they made it so, because there's a limited amount of them in the actual game. And apparently when you get like the first half of them will like greatly overpower you / reduce your damage. And then after that, it kind of tapers off. Just to kind of balance it, because obviously a lot of people are complaining, even the veterans, like, yo, this shit is crazy, you know? And Carlos, you're the one that told me this. They patched it in their servers, right? Not in the actual game. I believe that's what it was.
Yes. So a lot of people were wondering about the same thing you guys were. Yeah. It's like, I didn't get an update for Elden Ring. And that's because a lot of the, you know, it's all in the background. When you log into Elden Ring, it checks the version from the Elden Ring servers, and that's the one, that's where the update comes in, not through PSN.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So here, real quick here, so this is what it changes. The attack and damage negation has been increased for the first half of the maximum amount of blessing enhancements, and the second half will now be more gradual. The attack and damage negation granted by the final level of blessing enhancements has been slightly increased. Yeah, like you said, the calibration update can be applied by logging into the multiplayer server. So there you go. Although I will say, because I'm like level 3, you know, so I was like, oh, is this patch going to do make any difference? Not for me. It didn't. I'm still getting washed, you know? And we had the worst defeat last night. So I've been having trouble with this fucking dancing lion dude. And Carlos and Chris like, yo, we got you, man, because they're a lot stronger now, right? Yo, mm-hmm. We got this dude to just, like just a sliver of little health. Carlos and Chris are dead. I'm like, I just got to hit this dude once. He wouldn't let me. Wouldn't let me. Died. Fuck. And then when we tried after like five more times, we didn't even get close, you know?
Yeah, the first try was the best try, and it's kind of like how Elden Ring really is. It's just a random ass time where you're just defeated.
Yeah.
I will say this, Tony.
Yeah.
So I'm a level 11. I think Chris is maybe closer at double digits from the Scatter Tree blessing.
Damn.
I would say go collect the Scatter Tree blessings. There's a lot of them that are just in the world. Like, you don't even have to defeat bosses or anything like that.
Here's what I'm worried about. I hope I'm wrong about this. I think I may have collected all the ones in the areas I can visit. Like, if I want more, I need to at least beat one of these assholes, you know, so I could visit more areas.
Like, oh, no. You can get like a level, at least a level 7.
Really?
Without even fighting anybody.
Hmm.
There's some little like, you know, the
pots in their head. Yeah.
Yeah. Pot dudes.
Yeah. You know, motherfuckers I've killed and they don't drop nothing.
It's a glowing pot. So it has to be a glowing pot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and there's one right at the beginning too.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that until someone pointed it out. And I'm like,
and he always has it too.
Yeah. But you can't farm him though, right? Location. Yeah.
No. It's only
one. Because there's a limited amount.
Yeah, there's a limited. I think I probably got the guy, but I'll give it. Okay, if you say I can get to level 7, I'll just be even more thorough than I already have, because I'm like, yo, I think I need to explore more of the map, but it's like I can't reach beyond where I am right now because I got these two bosses fucking me up, you know, and I can't reach any other areas. But
I think I got some new spells, man.
Oh shit! I got
new spells, and I'm like, man, I wish Tony was on, because I would. Yeah. I think this would help out a lot. But yeah,
I'll be on tomorrow night, man. We could try again. Oh yeah, you know,
the multiplayer. I feel like three people is like, or for at least for boss fights.
Yeah,
they and the last game kind of did this too. It's the imbalance of the way that they nerf you when you have three people. I feel like it's even more severe than. Like, let's say you do two people or you do four people.
I don't think you can do four people in this game unless I'm wrong.
Oh, you can't? I mean, you could do it in the last one.
Could you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that. I thought it was only three heads total. Maybe I'm wrong.
maybe I'm wrong.
You know?
Yeah. But I mean, you can do three or two for sure. And ironically enough, I've only defeated the first two bosses, and I did them all by myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone joins and then either they're good or not, or, you know, they mess up the level system where it's like, oh, this dude is so underpowered.
Yeah. Yo, I wonder, like, because I couldn't even find like a random person with the first boss. It was like such a high traffic area. It's like unable to summon.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'll just do that more exploration and all that. But, you know, and like I was telling you guys, I also want to just put on different equipment and try different things. Like, I don't want to change my build. I like my strength, dude. I want to change my build and just maybe use some fucking mimic tears. I've never even used those things. So that'll be good. That's the thing. It's like this challenge is like encouraging me to get good. You know, not being discouraged at all, unlike some of these other fucking people are complaining. But yeah, good times, man. Good times in Elden Ring. And I know some motherfuckers already beat this shit. Some speedrunners, crazy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? You know?
Like, I think I'm 20 hours in and I've only defeated two bosses.
Oh, shit.
Two main bosses, at least.
I wonder how many total bosses there are.
I think there's either 9 or 10.
Okay, that's a good amount.
The other day.
But, you know, those are main bosses, right? Yeah, not the, you know, side dudes. I've been a bunch of side bosses, but none of those drop any, you know, like, blessings.
Oh, yeah. I've defeated a couple of side bosses.
Those motherfuckers in the caves, you know?
You go to a cave or a catacomb or one of those things, and a lot of times you're going to find one of those bosses.
I fought
one with Chris where both him and I were throwing our mimic tears. Our mimic tears weren't doing shit.
Oh, shit.
They're acting like they were, you know, playing their own game.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
So Chris finally beat it, and then he jumped into my game, and we got him in the first or second try.
Nice.
So it's sometimes, you know, it helps with two people because the mimic tier connect. Because I mean, this boss battle, it was the stage was pretty big, and the boss summoned like a whole bunch of like little little demons and shit, and the mimic tier was like, oh, I don't know who to fight.
Yeah, I don't know. That's cool, man. Yeah, this game's fucking awesome though, man. Can't wait to dive in.
Oh yeah,
I haven't had time. Yeah, again, I, you know, work and shit, so I haven't had time. I think the other day I was like, yo, I'm just too fucking tired, bro. You know, I know I would have been even more trash, but it's all good. And ironically enough, today was good, but you know, Throwdown. Like, I ain't tired. I'm good. I came home. Usually I would come home from work, I'm all fucked up. I'm like, man, I just want to stare at a wall for an hour, you know? But today I was like, man,
decompress, yo.
Huh?
Gotta decompress, yo.
Yeah, no, but today I came back. Hey, I'm good. No, I'm not sleepy, not tired. I'm good. I'm good, you know? But yeah, good stuff, man. All right, let's move on. What else are we talking about? Speaking about good games, talk about Stellar Blade, baby. We have a roadmap. So the game apparently sold a million copies. Shift Up is very happy about that. I'm pretty sure that's probably the most any other games have sold, you know?
I mean, they have a service-based game, too. That's another one they have.
So that's good. Yeah. So I'll just read this. Actually, some game rant. A Stellar Blade developer, Shift Up, is giving fans a sneak peek at upcoming updates for the popular game, teasing exciting things to come. Performance improvements and quality of life updates are top priorities for Shift Up and enhancing Stellar Blade for players. Cool. Fans can expect a photo mode in August, new skins after October, and a big collaboration at the end of the year. Ooh. I saw some people going, is it gonna be Nier Automata? You know, they want shit.
I mean, it would make sense, right?
Yeah.
If you got a Nier Automata skin going in there.
Shout out to Manny's cat, you know, podcat. Yeah. He's staring the wrong way though, but it's all good. Oh, there he is. But yeah, I already saw some fan art, like somebody drew like 2B and like what's her face's outfit and vice versa. That was kind of fun. Like, oh, the collaboration's coming, you know? So, okay, here we go. Photo mode around August. New skins, after October. Large collaboration, end of 2024. Large collaboration. Sequel confirmed. Paid DLC is being considered. Give me more, man. I'll take it. I'm good. Give me more.
Yeah, and there was also an interview with him, you know, to the director over there. And he's like, you know, the main thing was to try to create a franchise that's, you know, that people would love and, you know, stuff like that.
That's good. Yeah. And it says right here, they are preparing for the PC release, which is good. Excuse me. Let me read some more of this shit. This article's not that long. Developer Shift Up is offering its fans a better idea of what's coming for the game. I'm happy about this. So August, that's next month, effectively. Not technically next month. Next month is still, you know,
July,
but you know what I'm saying. Like, how many days do we got? Like three, you know? I'm down. Give me this shit. I wonder if any of these outfits will cause controversy, you know, with certain people. I think they just moved on by now. It's like, all right, bro. Well, now their ire is at Dr. Disrespect. So they're leaving Stellar Blade alone, you know?
Yeah, they got a bigger fish to fry there.
Yeah. Remember that leave Britney alone thing? I want to do one of those, but for Stellar Blade, you know? Leave Stellar Blade alone!
It is what it is. It's doing well for them.
So yeah, it is. I'm happy. It's good. It's a good game, you know? They actually went out of the way to, you know, make fans happy and you know, not piss them off like some other developers. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, no, you don't like it, don't buy my game. Okay, I won't.
No, what they did was they literally just, you know, they counteracted all of the stuff with a positivity, right?
Yeah.
We're sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah. Hey, it'll be crazy if it is a Nier Automata collaboration, man.
I mean, it would be cool.
You know what would be fun, Manny? Imagine if they do it, like, not only do you get like a 2B outfit, but you get like a Eve outfit in Nier Automata, like it do a patch,
like a late one.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? You know,
this also wouldn't be the first time that Nier Automata had a crossover with a game that came, you know, another sort of game with a girl lead. They also had one with Gravity Rush.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
You could put a 2B outfit on Cat.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. Settler Blade, baby. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got to talk about our boy Sean Layden. So it looks like he was on a podcast. He was on with IGN, it looks like. And some interesting stuff came out of it.
Okay.
So one of the first things is he is like dubious. Like, you know how people are saying, oh, in the future, like games are just going to be all streaming and all that. So he is kind of dubious about the whole Netflix of gaming thing. Or he says it won't happen anytime soon, which I kind of agree. I think it probably will be the future in like 20 years or something.
But as things are proving these days, it's like, you know, you have companies even like, you know, Netflix, which is the biggest one out there. They're posting losses. They even function at a loss. So, and you have all these other companies, you know, movies, you think, you know, content, you know, that are like, you know, trying to make all kinds of new deals and stuff to try to combine or merge because it's not working. The plain and simple, the way that system works is you have to have enough people to subscribe in order to be able to create the content. What if you don't got that? You're just bleeding money.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much.
What are we seeing with Xbox? They're saying that they're making a profit off of Game Pass. They're making a profit, but that's number one. I think that covers their operation costs, but I don't think that covers their actual real the operation costs of Game Pass itself. I think that doesn't include all the games they have in development.
Yeah, yeah. Like how much, if any, profit does that thing bring in?
Yeah, like how, you know, like is that enough to pay for all those games that are in development that are in development currently?
Yeah, so. I don't know. So I want to read what he says. So yeah, when he was asked, if streaming will, you know, ever replace consoles, this is what he says. No, never is a long time, but not in my lifetime anyway. I still think one of the things that mitigates against the widespread proliferation of game streaming platforms is the crap internet that we still have. He's right. Yeah, he goes, if you live in Tokyo, Seoul, or Stockholm, you can have a streaming game life right now. If you live in Stockholm, Muncie, Indiana, or even London, England, you can't have a great streaming experience. The spread of streaming gaming is limited by the ability to have the infrastructure to provide that. That's one thing. The second thing, remember, people, this is during a podcast, so that's why it may read a little weird, you know, because
yeah, it's just him talking. And whoever IGN didn't have enough mental capacity to essentially take out the ums and ums, right?
Those are gone, but it's just, it could have been edited. It could have been edited to sound better when you say it again, you know?
Yeah.
The second thing about is when you talk about cloud gaming, there's two aspects of that. One is the cloud as a delivery device, streaming gaming via the cloud going out. The other is cloud gaming, where you're able to leverage the power of server-side CPU and GPU, which would give you more than your console ever could at a price point you could afford. Then it becomes kind of interesting. If we make the server side do more of the heavy lifting, provide something that current technology or even next gen can't do, then maybe get some more interesting ideas around that. As far as the quote unquote Netflix of gaming, I don't see that happening anytime soon successfully. Yeah. I like that point he was talking about. It's like, yeah, like maybe if you make it so, you know, when you stream a game, it's just way better than a console could do. That's something. But again, you still have the shitty internet to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I agree with that. I do think there will be a point where it does happen. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. And to that end, he also believes, I think this was him, Was it Sean Layden or somebody else? Actually, this is from Matt Piscatella, which is kind of related. Actually, there was another quote that Sean Layden said that I want to talk about. Damn it. I can't bring it up. I don't know. Did you guys didn't happen to hear that thing, did you?
No, I didn't listen to it. Yeah. I just saw the reports off of it.
Yeah. Because on the other, I'm going to try to find that, but I want to talk about the Matt Piscatella quote because it's kind of the opposite of what he said, what Sean Layden said. Basically, Matt Piscatella is saying that he thinks that the next Xbox will go all digital and that PlayStation will follow suit the next generation after that. That's very interesting. Matt Piscatella, you know, from whatchamacallit, NPDs, you know, he has a different group now, but it's the same kind of deal. Here's the thing. Well, I don't think I'm not saying he's right about Xbox, but I understand why he would say that about Xbox, because Xbox is already trying to go down that route. We've been saying this for years on Throwdown.
Well, I mean, with the current news, which I'm sure was in there, you know, with their little deal.
Again,
Amazon Fire, but.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that on here, but we could talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you guys, because I don't really have anything. I'm like, okay, that's kind of stupid. Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
I actually do have something to add about the Sean Layden quote.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
That he's wrong because I live in London and I could stream games fine on my Steam Deck. So that was through Wi-Fi. So I had pretty much no issues. So that's where I take personal issues with the fact that I lived contrary to that, and my internet speeds weren't even that good by London standards. They were slightly less than average, and could do it fine. So
I don't understand why he said London. I'm like, it's a big city. Like, streaming is like generally better than some bodunk town, you know.
Go ahead, and that's why I want to say something. So I'm like, again, it's like, out of all the places, like London, it's like, no, like, streaming's fine. Like, you don't really need that much speed to stream. That's kind of the cool thing about streaming. It's what I think, like, most cases they ask for around, is it 2 megs or something like that? Something that is lower than what most people think. So either Sean thinks that you need like 50 megs like you have in like Seoul and Tokyo, or he's been fed some wrong information. I don't know what it is.
But his point is valid. It's not, this is whether he's right about London or, you know, but the thing is that there are still places on this planet, even in the United States itself, that don't have the infrastructure to be able to run something like a streaming service. Yeah, you could do it at a city, a major city, or, you know, in places like that. But then once you get further out, you know, there are some places in the United States that they don't even see it, they don't even see the need to run any cable over to them because it's too expensive, you know? So it's like, and there are literally people still running like AOL, like dial-up in this country. And that's all their only option other than satellite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that. But Brian, I'm with him. Like, dude, London, really? You know, like the reason, you know, I'm going to equate it with, you know, what I've done whenever I've reviewed a streaming gaming device, I always say, I live in New York. My Wi-Fi and all that is fucking great. You may not see the same result because just like London, like I could stream, everything is fine. No problem. You know, I've never, ever had that issue. But most people don't have that luxury, you know.
But then I guess to counter Manny's point is, at what point can you say something is possible? Because, again, you'll never get 100% everywhere. That's good enough for it. So
the thing about it is, if you're selling a product, you should be able to guarantee everybody in a country the same experience, or at least a decent experience, right? You can't sell a product like only some people can only some people can benefit from.
Yeah, Brian, what do you say to that?
But then, that's most products, really. I mean, you have like $1,000 iPhones out there. Like,
well, no, $1,000
$1,000 iPhones these days.
A person could, you know, a person, if they have enough money, yes, they can do that. But this is something that's totally different. This is considered consumer electronics, right? You know, things that regular people should be able to afford.
Yeah, Brian.
If this is the greatest deal in gaming, why? How come? You know, Hee Haw in the middle of nowhere can't play no Xbox games on his Amazon Fire TV.
All respect to Hee Haw in the middle of the country.
He just said Hee Haw.
yo, no disrespect to people listening to us in the middle of the country.
But then here's the thing. So you could have called
the motherfucker Billy Bob or something. Like, Hee Haw.
Yo, man, Hee Haw was a badass show. Watch this. You know, but you get what I'm saying. Like, in other words, it's like, if this is going to be a thing, you know, why not? Why doesn't it, you have to be able to guarantee this thing across the board. Oh, either that or give people another option. If streaming was the way to go, so it's like, okay, what? I got to move to a city to play this stupid streaming game? Fuck that, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing that's holding us back from like a full on streaming future. Well, then also latency and shit like that.
Yeah.
But then you'll never really get rid of latency by its very nature.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the big issue with cloud gaming.
Yeah,
that's why I always said perceptible latency, because yeah, there's always going to be latency no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man! By the way, Twitter's been entertaining tonight for another reason. We don't need to bring that up. Oh man, the cooking, bro.
I'm just staying off Twitter this weekend.
What happened, Brian? Yeah.
Oh, I'm just staying off Twitter this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Ryan, I would just say it's been very entertaining tonight, but we're not talking about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I found the other quote, Mr. Sean Layden.
Sean Boy.
This is very interesting. I hadn't realized this. He was basically saying that the console market hasn't really grown, like, ever. Like okay. So I'm just going to write into it. This is super interesting. He goes, if you look at the history of consoles from PS1 to PS5 and everything associated in those verticals, the global install base in any one of those generations has never gotten over 250 million. No matter how you rack it up, there's at one point a time when the Wii came out, and thanks to Wii Fit, an extra 20 million units got sold because everyone thought they could lose weight. That's funny. Let me finish up here. But that wasn't sustainable, and that came crashing down. And we're still kind of in the 250 million overall install base of active consoles. I think that's the challenge. We've managed to do a lot over time, and during the pandemic, revenues went up 20 to 25%, but it was still just getting more money from the same people. It wasn't necessarily bringing in new people into the console gaming world. So I think that's the existential threat to gaming right now. How do you break out of that glass ceiling? I had no idea that consoles remained the same throughout generations.
It only makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Like, now that I think about it, because here's the thing. I just assumed more and more consoles were being sold, but no, it's the same amount.
What's the glass ceiling? The glass ceiling is the general market.
Yeah.
Like the true general market.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's precisely what Microsoft wants to try to hit with their streaming service.
That's why they want billions of people, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they said. They said 2 billion people.
Yeah. See, the thing that's the thing that they want to do. They want to be able to open this up to the rest of the general audience, make it super easy to play a console game. Well, now you're offering a console game on a service like Netflix or anything like that. But the thing about it is, will those people be interested in it? That's the big question I have about any of that, about those initiatives. It's like, okay, you know, It makes it really easy. We've even said this when Amazon had their gaming service. It makes it super easy to be able to get on there. But you notice anything about Amazon's gaming service? Nobody gives a shit about it.
Oh yeah, whatever it was called.
Amazon Luna. Nobody cares about it. It's just there. It's just dead weight, and it's just waiting for the day for Amazon to just say, "All right, we're done." Even now, they haven't, like, they're already launching a lot of their games already on other consoles, on the actual consoles and PC. so that even they don't have any faith in their own service.
That's true. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. I like hearing stats like that. Like, oh, no.
Well, but yeah, like, to be honest, it makes sense to me. It's like, oh, how, you're not like, you're pretty much talking to the same people over and over and over again.
Or I would maybe the same types of people.
The same type, yeah, same types of people.
Because it's different generations, obviously. Obviously, they're all old farts like us who've been around the entire time. But
you look at it like it's the older people like us, but you notice that's why a lot of these companies are essentially trying to tap the mobile market, because they're talking to a different person. Yeah, there.
They are.
You know, you're talking to younger people you see a. Like, how many times do you see a kid playing some game on their phone? Some little, you know, who's what's a game? Maybe attempting to play something else on them.
And not just younger people, like super normies, you know?
Like older people, like our parents,
my mom played more games than me, playing fucking Angry Birds all the time.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, it was a simple game that she could easily get in and play a little bit, or, you know, she did Candy Crush too, right?
Yep.
So it's like those smaller experiences that don't need you to even make that much of an investment. The small perceivable little, throw a dollar at it. Then you're already, you just throw a dollar and then now you just spent $100.
Yeah. So pretty much. Yeah. But
do we have the thing about the about Death Stranding and Resident Evil not doing well on the iPhone?
Uh-oh. Is that new? Isn't that old news? Because I remember hearing that last week.
Yeah, it's pretty recent news. Yeah.
But I do want to talk about that Xbox Amazon thing since you brought it up. So we could dive into it. And I need to look this up because I just kind of barely looked at it. So what is the Xbox Game Pass going to be available on Amazon Fire Stick or something?
Yep, that's actually supposed to be happening really soon. That they're going to be offering the Xbox on there. So I think I haven't fully read into it, but I think it's just the streaming portion of their service.
Yeah. Although go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I want to tie that. Okay, because then I didn't know about Death Stranding, Resident Evil not doing well on iPhone, but it proves our point. Games are not for people who play mobile games. They don't care about that stuff, and I'm not just saying that as a like ignorant thing. It's just a fact. You know, they're made for different people, and just to prove a point, I'm testing out they call them a mobile control. You guys ever heard of a backbone? It's basically
on the side of your phone.
Yeah. So Scuf made their own version of that, right? I should show it to you. Scuf made their own version of it, and it's really good. This is Scuf. Like they make awesome controllers. They made a really good one of that. So I downloaded this racing game, and here's the crazy thing about this racing game. You don't accelerate. It goes forward the entire time. All you need to do is just press left and right and turbo. I'm like, oh, that makes sense because it's a mobile game, right? You got to change it around for people. So
it's a runner.
Yeah, basically. And this one's anecdotal, but like, I still remember this. This is a perfect example. Brett was, in his tattoo place, working on a customer. And, he saw the guy playing, on his phone. And Brett gives him a Switch. Like, yo, play this. And, in our gamer minds, like, yeah, this is better, right? This dude said, no, I don't want to play that. I want to play on my phone. Very different mindset. So I'm not surprised that Death Stranding, Resident Evil are not doing well on iPhone. Because think about this. The people who would normally play iPhone games, they don't want to play something crazy like that. And then guys like us ain't going to want to play no fucking mobile games.
Hence the issue there. Who is that? Like, obviously it's being put there to give people the chance to go into that sort of, to play these sorts of more complicated games. But time and time again, the platform is proven, and just by the audience, that these sorts of games don't work. Games like Republic, which was a very well done game built for this sort of thing, but nobody wants to spend over play a 6 hour game on a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to, the only thing that's impressive about Death Stranding and Resident Evil, the last Resident Evil game, being on the iPhone, is the novelty that they can actually
is that they're on an iPhone. Games. Yeah. And Manny, you're right. It. This story's from yesterday. We are talking about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're 100% right. It's like, oh, wow, this small thing could do this. That's cool.
Exactly. Next.
You know, it's like, come on. Who the fuck is like, oh, I want to play Resident Evil on my iPhone?
Yeah,
get a Steam Deck, bro. You know, come on.
Yeah, like with such a more complicated type of title. You know, obviously, you know, if you're going to be, your hands are going to be all over the screen, or if you have a backbone, like, are you going to play that on? Like,
as damn! I'm sorry, man, because they actually give you numbers of people who bought this thing.
Yeah.
Less than under 3,000 users paid 50. Hold on, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
these people are used to paying $1 for these fucking games, sometimes free. Mm-hmm. You think they're gonna pay $50? So under 3,000 people paid for Assassin's Creed Mirage on iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, there's more numbers. The Ubisoft title has reportedly been downloaded. It's been downloaded a couple of times. You put the comma in the wrong place, bro. It's made $138,000. That's not good.
No, it's not good. I'm sure that's not even.
These numbers are minuscule compared to free to play games on mobile storefronts that often have millions of downloads. So it's been downloaded. Here's why I'm confused. So 3,000 people paid $50, but the game's been downloaded 123,000 times. I guess there's a free trial or something.
It sounds like they just bought it. They bought it and didn't download it.
But only three. I know I'm retarded with math, but if 3,000 people paid for it, then 123,000 downloaded it. Is there a free trial?
Or maybe it was just given away to people to review or something. And again, it could be free trials, review copies.
Yeah.
Again, it just means that it's been downloaded. I mean, because technically, when you review a game, that's technically a download.
Yeah.
Whether or not they count that in the download stats, it's another thing, but technically it's a download. But yeah, it's very strange, the sheer difference between 3,000 and like 100-something thousand.
Yeah.
That's a big leap.
Hey Brian, don't you wish Xbox gave you these type of numbers?
It would be nice to get numbers, but hey, whatever.
They're not gonna show any weak numbers.
Yeah, instead we get, you know, trust me, bro numbers from Xbox. You know? Hold on real quick. Shout out to Richard Bailey Jr., man. In the building.
Rich. How's it going, guys? Had a bit of a power outage. We're good now.
Okay. Whoa, that's not good. You all right, man? You good?
Oh yeah, it was a real quick one. It just happened very randomly.
Yeah,
like 20 minutes or so.
I had one like early in the morning. I noticed that all the clocks in the house were all like just they're all slightly wrong. They're off by like a minute. So
I kind of like the fact that we just jumbled all these stories together, but it all worked into one cohesive narrative.
It all works into the same sort of thing where, like, in other words, you have a one end, you know, you have Sean talking about the future of gaming, and this involves streaming and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, we have the, you know, also the other big billion dollar industry of mobile, you know.
Yeah.
And then essentially trying to sell AAA, you know, games, you know, from the, you know, games from the consoles and PC to people who are on iPhones. That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It's too, like you said, it's two different player bases.
It's two different player bases. If anything, they probably should have just Kojima should have just made a giant movie of Death Stranding, just put that on the phone, because that probably would have been a little bit more palatable, right? You just press the little button and just make him deliver things, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
And some of these games, you need an iPhone, iPhone 15 Pro at least.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring it up is because, go ahead, Brian.
I was about to say, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
You need that?
You need a $1,000 phone to play the $60 game.
I was about to say, it's actually cheaper to literally buy both the Xbox and the PlayStation and get on both platforms.
Both consoles and the game, right?
Both as well. It's like, what the hell?
Wow.
It definitely... Again, it's a huge novelty. It's like, okay, yeah, this thing is powerful enough to run these games on there. But at the same time, it's like, that's not the place to be able to do this. If Kojima was going to be putting out a game like that, you know, he should make something specifically for that platform.
Yeah, just give me a sec, because I'm going to get this shit. Okay, because, again, I'm testing this thing. It's called the Scuf Nomad. And I asked one of my colleagues, I'm like, hey, can you lend me an iPhone 15? So he lent me one. But it's the Plus, so when I try to download Yeah, so when I try to play Resident Evil, it was like, this doesn't support it, bruh. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You know? Fuck is it? Anyway, talks amongst yourselves.
The Plus should be the one that does play it. And then the Pro Plus?
No, it's the Plus doesn't play, it's the Pro or the Max.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I have the Pro and my girlfriend's got the Max.
Ah, see that you don't guys don't have to. Well, see, you guys could play it on both of those then.
Why would I want to play a stupid Death Stranding?
No, I'm saying you have the phones. Oh, here we go. You have the phones that are supported. So here's the actual thing. And then where's the iPhone? By the way, it is wild. I could just literally go to my colleague. Hey, you got an extra iPhone? Yeah, I got one. Because he's a phone reviewer, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's this is the regular Pro. Oh, excuse me, this is the Plus. Mm-hmm. Can't play Resident Evil on this. It's fucking insane, you know? So I'm doing demonstration for you guys. So see this thing? It kind of just goes right in here. It's a little weird doing it while I'm trying to show it
to you guys. And it fits with the case and everything like that, too?
Look at that. Yeah. Pretty cool, right? Yeah, because sometimes you got to take the cases off.
But it seems like it pulls it out a little wide enough to do that.
Yeah, cool. And it has a associated app. Hold on.
As I remember, the PlayStation and PlayStation also works with those with them too.
Oh yeah,
the just a regular, like, you could just hook it like through Bluetooth.
Yeah, I know for you guys right here in the Throwdown chat it's backwards, but for the people watching at home, it's like perfect.
Yeah, that's cool.
It looks like a
PlayStation Portal.
Yeah, and the graphics are really nice too. By the way, since it's a scuff, it does indeed have back paddles, you know, and you've got this little like texture here. You can't program where the trigger stop like you can on the regular controllers, but it does come with like you could switch out the sticks here, just like scuff controllers. The D-pad is also very scuffish, you know. This thing's dope. You know, again, I wouldn't want to play games like this, but if you are going to play games on your phone, which I still advise you not to ever, get it with this guy, the Scuf Nomad. I don't know what the price is on this, but this thing's fucking. But here's the thing, I'm a Scuf fanboy. I just admitted I'm a Scuf fanboy. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you did say in our personal chat that you were gonna buy the Scuf.
Oh no, that was another one. That was another controller. Wasn't
it? Okay, that wasn't it. Okay.
That was in a Scuf controller. That was Victrix or whatever. I'm not familiar with that company, but like usual. What happened?
Why were you thinking of that one for your fighting game controller?
Oh, because you could actually make it a 6-button controller, you know? But as one of my colleagues informed me, like, Tony, reach out to their PR people. They could send you one. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, I've done shit like that before. Because I want to do a story on reading manga, you know, on iPad. I just asked Apple, can you send me an iPad mini? And like, sure. You know, even my colleagues were like, oh, shit, Tony, you got pulled like that. I'm like, Tim Cook named us, bro. Like we're good. It's crazy, man.
Tim Cook named you specifically.
Well, he named it was Tom's guy, but still, I'm not going to get that hubristic on people, although we will talk about some hubris soon. Okay. I'm trying to load this up for you guys so you can see how this works.
So what game?
Asphalt 9 or some shit like that. I could probably play it like this because, again, you don't even have to accelerate. Like, I just have, like, I just, like, do, like, turbo here, you know?
You're just looking at the screen to see which way you're going to put it.
See, I just, that's it. That's all I got to do.
Yo, man, you playing games backwards, son?
Yeah. There we go. That's how I drift. Oh, look, you could crash sometimes. Kind of like burnout, you know? Okay, there's me drifting. I could actually play this shit. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
That I can actually play like this, right?
Yeah, because your screen is backwards, right?
so yeah, it is.
You're playing it forward.
Yep.
That's weird.
There you go. Did I win the race or did I lose? I don't know. Oh, no, because it's still giving me tutorials. It's still the beginning part of it. So it wants me to press this. All right, get rid of that. Do a live demonstration of the Scuf Nomad for you people.
Yo, man, this dude is doing some craziness. Like, from our view, it looks like you're just holding it up and you're somehow magically playing it.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's like you could consider it an endless runner.
Yeah, it is. It, you know, I mean, that's what it is. Like, whenever you're designing games for those sorts of platforms, you're going to go
with all right.
a simpler control scheme that takes advantage of, you know, what that thing does.
There we go. The race is over. You know, short little race mobile shit, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like I have like goggles on.
Yeah, you know, it looks like you're in VR, right?
Yeah, now. Pretty cool. There you go. Random game demonstration. And listen, sometimes we play video games on a video game podcast. You know.
By the way, fans, have you attached your Discord to PlayStation? Tested that thing out.
It's not a lot of. Hey, what's going on, Otaku Man? There's not a lot of people in the chat today, but shout out. No, we got half and half. Like six people from Twitch and six from YouTube. Shout out to you guys. Hey, by the way, this case, what is this? Bellroy? This shit is legit, man. Like, I want to get this, but in black, you know? Oh, what's up, Carlos? You familiar with Bellroy, man?
I got them three cameras, son.
Oh, well, I mean, my regular phone has three cameras, you know? Yeah, boy. Because this is the 13 Pro, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is the plus. Why is the plus bigger?
Because it's just big.
Okay, that's what it. Okay, whatever.
That's big.
Yeah, they have the pros are in different sizes.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, but I have some Bellroy stuff too. They're overpriced, but I like it.
Sometimes you got to pay for quality, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, check it out. It even has like little scuff thing. These little like honeycombs. That's a signature scuff thing, you know. Mm-hmm. This thing's dope. You know. Turn this motherfucker off. Want the battery to die, you know?
Oh,
I think it'll probably turn off on its own eventually. Let me just put the phone back. Bluetooth, you know, and because with the backbone, it only works with the iPhone 15 because it has USB. This works with any iPhone; doesn't matter. So even if it has like lightning cable and shit, you know. Oh shit! I fucked up. Are we still streaming? Yes, we are. Yo, this thing just dropped on my fucking shit. You know?
Don't fuck it up. You know?
We still streaming? Yes, we are. Good.
Oh yeah, we good.
This thing followed my fucking keyboard. You know, we listen. We're a live show, man. Sometimes things happen. You know. Anyway, let's get back on track here. Oh, that was fun. The little diversion there. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Brian. I won't add, which is slightly pointless, but I think it's worth just adding.
This was pointless. Go ahead.
Since it is related to Amazon Luna, they partnered up with GOG recently so that you can play all your GOG games on Amazon Luna. So you can stream them.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
I'll say that Luna controller, which I think I still have, is pretty good, you know?
Speaking slight tangent on with GOG, cool, GOG actually recently... GOG recently got the Resident Evil games 1 and 2 running. The PC versions running on modern PCs. So
pretty cool.
And they said that they won't be coming on consoles because GOG actually helped out with that release. So unfortunately, it won't be coming out on Steam either. It's just weirdly locked to GOG. But I guess
it's better than nothing. They spent the time to fix it.
Yeah.
Though, as I remember, with the Blade Runner game, they actually did license the GOG version, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, the last GOG news I heard is they recently got Alpha Protocol on GOG.
Alpha Protocol? Oh, shit.
Yeah, remember that game?
I remember that.
Remember Hip Hop's review of that game?
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, and it's funny you bring up Hip Hop Gamer because we're going to be talking about him soon. I said we're not going to talk about the Dr. Disrespect drama, but we will be talking about that fucking Hip Hop Gamer drama. Oh, man. And to lead us right into it, PS2 emulated games on PS5, people. Manny, you know more about this than I do. So what's going on with this?
All I know is that it's really just a rumor that matches up with what Hip Hop Gamer said.
No, but let's talk about what Digital Foundry discussed first. Like, what's going on with that?
PS2 emulation. So as you know, we didn't actually get to touch on it. That's part of what Riku wanted to talk about on the episode that he showed up on before. Yeah. Was that also that same, you know, that same thing? They also announced the that there was going to be more a more conscious effort to release PlayStation 2 games on the PlayStation 5. So right now, they've apparently Sony has made a deal with a new company that's creating the revised emulator that they're going to be using to put out these games. So far, you know, like that's what Digital Foundry is talking about, where essentially that of this emulator, kind of like the PlayStation, you know, the PlayStation 1 emulator that they have running on there, is kind of weak. It does slightly run things at a higher resolution. The effects are sort of randomized effects that they have on there, you know, like they have like, you know, but it, all they really do is they just literally just run the game as is, you know, not like maybe a slightly better resolution, but you don't have any sort, you know, and then you don't have any sort of better, like in other words, if you have PSS, you know, PSSX or whatever, how you can adjust the resolution of a game, you can do all kinds of fun stuff to it. Really, it's a really bare bones emulator. And it just, you know, the game, that's what Digital Foundry says, like, they don't look any better. They kind of look worse than they did, you know. He essentially what Linneman said is that they look pretty much worse. They look worse. They do a worse upscaling job than them just using a retro tink and then using the, you know, connecting it to a classic console and putting it on your HD television.
Oh shit!
So yeah, but yes. I mean, yeah, but they work, and apparently that's the investment that Sony is making, which is disappointing. Which, like, you look at the backwards compatibility, initiative that Xbox did. You legitimately get a really good version of their games running, like, you know, whatever, you know, mumbo jumbo that they're using to essentially run the games at a higher resolution and a better frame rate, like Xbox 360 game. You can play Metal Gear Solid. The classic Metal Gear Solid games on there. You know, like at least, you know, 2, 3 and not 4. I mean, 2 and 3 and Peace Walker on there, and they run pretty damn good. They'll run at, like, higher resolution and with a better frame rate. So, what deal, you know, PlayStation or Sony? You know, what, you're just going to be like, okay, we got it working. Let's get it done, and that's it.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing that they didn't even bother.
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like the emulators that they had on the 3 were a lot better than that.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, obviously that made me think of a certain remastering engine, right? That our boy Hip Hop Gamer discussed 4 years ago. This isn't it, but again, because I was always of the belief that somebody from Sony told him something, and I'm not saying it is going to be that, but you know, they told him something and he may have interpreted that way.
Well,
you know,
he did it based on a few things. It was based off of the fact that, you know, they had that patent out there.
Yeah.
You know, which said that they could essentially do like an FPGA solution, or in other words, they could essentially make it think that it's literally running on another running on the classic hardware. So you know how the FPGAs work, where in other words, it's a chip that sort of emulates the hardware that they comp the specific console. So it's pretty much like a one-to-one. It's not emulation. It's actually all hardware that's doing it.
Yeah.
So it's what that patent was essentially, hey, we can essentially do something similar to this and make the game think it's running on these consoles, on the previous console.
Yeah.
Then they'll run. Very different solution. But it, you know, with his remastering engine, this was, you know, for PS1, PS2, and PS3.
Yeah, and he said that, you know, you could pop the discs in and play them natively. Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah,
I suspect that if anything, it would have been like, if it did exist, it would probably be very similar to what Xbox did. Or in other words, if they have it available on their servers, it'll just download the one from the server. And then, you know, you won't need to pay extra to buy those games again. But again, none of this has happened. And I think maybe he also heard a little something from one of the people behind the scenes, something like that. It was multiple things why he came to the conclusion that the idea of the remastering engine. But this what's being talked about now is that there's a big rumor that quite a bit of titles are going to be PS3 titles are going to be making their way over.
Yeah,
to,
we talked about that. Yeah,
which is like which is one of them on the list is Metal Gear Solid 4, and then a few other titles I can't remember.
Yeah. So the reason I bring this up is because it's kind of tee up what I want to talk about. So there was a little kerfuffle, for lack of a better term, between our friend Hip Hop Gamer and Tom Henderson from Insider Gaming. So Manny, what exactly set it off? Because Hip Hop basically said that Insider Gaming claimed they knew something that he had already been talking about.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
The remastering engine, right?
Yeah, it wasn't really a remastering engine, but it was something that along those lines that he said that was going to be coming.
Yeah. Because basically Insider Gaming quoted a bunch of other people, but not him.
Yes.
And he wasn't happy about that. So I want to read what he says. Okay, so let's go through it. PlayStation is working on PS3 emulation for PlayStation 5. It's claimed. That's what Insider Gaming said. Mm-hmm. And they cited a bunch of people in there. Not Hip Hop Gamer. So Hip Hop Gamer, in all caps, because this is a Hip Hop Gamer, mm-hmm. The first report on this came from who? again, this is all caps. Yo, Insider Gaming, respectfully, please get your facts straight. All of this is from my content confirming this back in 2020. He drops the video, and now he's not yelling here. And then there's more videos and interviews, not yelling, no caps. And then there's more videos and interviews that show where this is from, and this is in caps. This is not where Jeff Grubb or Nick or Xbox Era, nobody but me. Please update your article and credit correctly. And then, not in bold. He goes, all I ask is for a fair shake. I think that was pretty good of what he said. Respectful, yeah. Cool, right? Nothing wrong with that. I think what he did was very fair there, This was Tom Henderson. This was his response. Back then, this as I try to read this, I'm getting fucking angry. Mm-hmm. Back then, this information was as fake as the gold chain you wear around your neck, dude. You don't get credit for throwing shit at the wall and it potentially sticking 4 years later. People are like, yo, what the fuck, dude? People mm-hmm. were upset with him. So Hip Hop Gamer, and people probably thought, oh, Hip Hop Gamer, he's going to come out, he's fucking diss him. Hip Hop Gamer comes out with, wow, dog, just by this response already tells me who you are, Tom Henderson. Much love and God bless. Take care, man. Notice all I asked for was for a fair shake. I never said anything at all disrespectful to you. And I never will, because that's not who I am. You know good and well that no one confirmed that PS1, PS4 will be playable on PS5 until I confirmed it. I break stories consistently and I have the receipts. There's no need to ever try to take personal jabs at all. This is gaming, bro, and we love gaming, and I got love for you. All I ask is that you get the facts straight. I have tons of links and proof about this. All I ask is for a fair shake in your reporting. Take care, man. God bless, one love, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. He took the high road,
Yeah.
Took the high road there. And then Mr. Henderson here, I was surprised by this.
Okay.
He apologized. Because some of the, let's be honest, a lot of these cats never apologize. What did they double
yeah,
down?
Yeah, he would have done. Yeah, he would. Yeah, the usual thing would be like the dude would have just doubled down. Yeah. Right?
But isn't this the same person who backed away from Paris as well?
I believe so. And let me finish what he said. And I want to put a pin in that because that's a good point. So this is what he says. I apologize. The all caps tweeting threw me off, and the video you quoted had hardly anything to do with the recent rumors in the grand scheme of things. Don't be surprised to see a demonstration at the reveal, etc. Back then, I asked about this, and it wasn't true according to my sources. I can't yet verify if even the new rumors are true yet either. I'm sorry for the hostility and for hitting back like that. I perceived it as arrogance, which doesn't seem to have been your intention. And congratulations on your recent announcement, by the way. It's a breath of fresh air to see people using games to bring positivity like that. Feel free to reach out in DMs for a chat call if you want to talk more about it. He's referring to, because remember, Hip Hop Gamer teamed up with Denzel Washington, and they're doing some stuff mm-hmm. to help kids in schools. Very good yeah. stuff,
Yeah, he's got that, and he's got this thing where, in other words, and they just showed an interview with him on WPIX.
Shout out to him.
It's a sort of initiative to essentially get like game programming and game development into schools where kids can develop games.
And yeah,
really cool, like really, you know, really cool thing to sort of, you know, to do. And he even says a thing where he's like, you know, if you want to have to see if we can get this going in your school, feel free to contact me. Like,
yeah, that's putting
himself out there. So
And I know he also partnered with, I believe it's Chase Bank.
Yeah,
with
some stuff. That's the game thing. Yeah,
So pretty good stuff. Yeah. You know, good
stuff.
But yeah, oh, Carlos, get in here, man. So yeah, expand on your point about what Henderson said.
Okay,
if you remember,
Carlos,
where you at, bro?
Oh, my bad. I was talking on mute.
Okay, yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, go ahead. Expand on what you said.
So the stuff that hip hop was and Tom Henderson were talking about, is that what you're asking, or with Paris? Okay.
You're right. The whole confrontation with Paris. Yeah. He is that guy. He is one of them. Remember, Paris said, I'm going to go up to a bunch of these guys and see how they act in real life. Paris, man.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there's a track record of him backing down. And by the way, I would have respected him more if he stuck to his guns, because that's what he really thought.
Yeah. Just keep it real. You know,
I mean, if you're gonna, you don't bust out with the fake gold chain remarks if you don't feel some sort of way about a person. And and this whole, that's why this whole thing is a fucking act. And all these video game, I don't even want to call them influencers, but video game, personalities are just insiders. Phonies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Carlos, he hasn't deleted that tweet.
No. Well, there you go.
He hasn't deleted that tweet because he likes the attention that's coming off of it. Mm-hmm. He just deleted it, right?
Yeah. And the whole thing that he mentioned, it is true about the throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. It's true about hip hop. It's true about everybody that talks that brings up information about the video game industry. For every video, for every tweet, for every news article that's right, there's three more that is wrong. Everyone. Yeah. That's all they do. But Tom Henderson, for some reason, felt some sort of way about hip hop. I don't know what, you know, his deal was with him. And apparently he got backlash because he looked like an asshole.
Yeah.
And that's why he's like, oh shit, I can't, you know, I look some sort of way, so I need to backtrack. But even though I'm pretty sure he still kind of feels the way that he does about when he sent that stuff.
He probably just got so much heat. He's like, okay, I gotta apologize.
Yeah, got a backstep, but still, you know, we should again. Like, why did he need to come out that way? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with Carlos. I think that's how he really feels.
I do think it is how he feels. So, like, he could have been just like, oh, you know, that he could have said that in the beginning. He's just like, oh yeah, well, you know. If he did say that, when hip hop did come at him, you're like, oh well, hip hop, you know, said exactly that same thing, chose the high road, you know, and said, oh yeah, you know, the reason why he didn't, you know, do it is because it didn't seem to coalesce, right? He could have said all of that instead of coming back at him, you know, with a clap back, or clap first,
yeah. Oh my God, Rich, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, first and foremost, I don't care a damn thing that Harry and the Hendersons had to say. And I can say that because I don't actually know this person. All I know is they look like a fool with how they basically were talking about hip hop in response, and then the fake apology afterwards. And I saw a lot of people leaving comments on Twitter going after him. So like you guys said, he felt the pressure. He felt like he had to respond and say something. But I think it's pretty ridiculous. You know, we all know we're good friends with hip hop. We know how humble he is. And obviously, there's always an issue of him knowing something, him putting the information out there, and then not getting credit. And by the way, I will also say and make this a reference connected to us as well. We have had several situations. One situation in particular, I remember where we were not credited until there was enough said about it. We had to be credited. And I'm sure that Manny remembers this because it has to do with Kojima.
Yep.
And a certain story that was on thecoalition.com.
Yep.
And a certain site did not want to credit us until they had to. So.
Yeah. Because I was looking through my LinkedIn one late night, and then I was like, wait a minute. It's the former head of Konami EU has a Kojima Productions president, on his LinkedIn thing. So is he the president of Kojima Productions? When the fuck did this happen? So yeah. So there you go. Yeah, and then a certain place they didn't even want to do it. They looked at our report and then just did. Oh well, we're like, no, we were the first to do it. You didn't notice that shit.
But yep. You know, and I gotta interject this whole thing. What you guys did is journalism.
Yeah, that is journalism.
That's true.
You guys reported on something that you discovered via research and presented it to the world. It's not, oh, I think this is what's going to happen. It's like, oh, I'm saying stuff in 2020 and when it comes into fruition 2024, but there's no mention that it's going to come into fruition 2024. It's kind of harder to mention stuff like to take that as seriously as reported news. I mean, the whole thing with Harry and the Hendersons and Jeff Grubbs. Like all they do is just shoot stuff, and it's like, well, I guess this is gonna, you know, I guess this is gonna happen. It doesn't really but don't come at me, bro, when it's not right. And that's not journalism. That's just throwing shit.
You can't take the credit for those supposed insiders. There's no checks and balances for them. There's nothing inside about any of those people. They might have one or two people that they know, something like that. But in general, they know about as much as we do, and they pull a Michael Packard. Literally look at the obvious and be like, okay, you know, this is gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, again,
I agree 100%. You both made good points, and Carlos, you are correct. But I'm also going to add this, and I'm going to admit, you know, Harry and the Hendersons. I'm not necessarily a fan of Harry and the Hendersons because this is one of the same people who breaks embargo on a lot of stuff. And I know Tony can attest to this. Sometimes we find out certain information about games or something that's going to get announced. This guy is one of the first people online breaking the embargo. And I'm like, why are they not going after this guy for putting the information out there that we can't even talk about until the embargo is up?
Here's what Harry and the Hendersons does. Harry and the Hendersons is me. I'm not in the video game industry.
Oh.
But I know people who work in the video game industry. I know people that are connected, and I could give information away. But I'm not subjugated to it because I'm not under embargo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the Harry dude is doing. He knows people that are under embargo and just breaks it because I need to make my name go out there and look like I have some credibility.
That's what it is.
That's just all it is.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because there's been so many times where, and Rich, you know, you and I have discussed this many times behind the scenes, where we get an email about an embargo, then hours later, or maybe not even hours, maybe less than an hour later, there's Mr. Harry and the Hendersons talking about it, you know? I'm like, damn, bro. That's not insider. You're just breaking it. He's breaking embargo, but not directly. Like Carlos said, somebody tells him, and then he puts it out there. You know,
yeah.
And it's not like any breaking news. A whole bunch of people know. They just can't talk about it, and they're people that are reporting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will also say, and this has to do with a lot of the way that the industry sees hip hop being. When a dude has something legitimate, they don't look at him as a credible source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see him as they see him as the personality. They see him as this specific thing. If he has some real legitimate information, they're just like, whatever. And that's what that is.
And it's, I mean, to be honest and fair, the same thing happens to hip hop the way that we criticize Jeff Grubb. Jeff Grubb also brings up some stuff that does come to fruition, but sometimes it's hard for us to take it as seriously because there's a whole bunch of other stories that don't come true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's this story. But then, and then sometimes that information doesn't come true until years after. So it's like, well, it's like giving the Simpsons credit for breaking news stories about, you know, in the future.
Yeah, you know, you're
right. Kojima.
That's hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, there you go. So It's hip hop will never get his due, man. Unfortunately, you know. But it is what it is, man. He's obviously doing something right, getting all these partnerships, you know.
He out of most of the people, out of a lot of these people on there, he's pretty much a self-made man. Came from nothing, pulled himself up, you know.
Yeah.
Getting featured on shows because of his own creative content, you know.
Yeah, he is his own brand. Yeah,
he's his own brand. None of these motherfuckers can say that shit.
That's true.
Well, Harry
and Anderson is insider gaming.
After all the dust has settled, and then let's say hip hop decides to walk away from it, which we probably won't. Yeah. He's still got a lot of other shit going on that's gonna take him through. Grubby, Harry and the Hendersons, they ain't got shit. All their shit is dependent on other people.
No one, and this is the best compliment I could ever give hip hop. No one grinds like him. No one hustles like him. There's no living person in the video game industry that puts as much work into what he does than hip hop.
Yep, hardest working man in the industry. Yep.
And here's another thing, he's the most passionate. He loves video games probably more than 99.999% of the people who play video games, who talk about video games, who cover video games. So, you know, he's molded that, you know, that intense passion with the hard work ethic. And not to mention he's a dude from New York, so
you know,
it comes with a bravado. So, you know, that's why he's succeeding in the world. And that's why he's got, you know, the whole stuff with Denzel. He's spinning the belt.
Yeah, he got Denzel to spin the belt.
He got Denzel to spin the belt. He got to do it, you know, because that's what, you know, Denzel usually comes back to New York to, you know, to go to his old school.
Yeah.
You know, he's still very active. I mean, come on. How many of you who grew up in New York remember seeing Denzel on TV for the YMCA?
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah.
Right.
And I'll say this, and I'm going to be very careful. I find it very interesting how certain individuals in this industry, you know, shat on Hip Hop Gamer, may have even gotten fame from that, and they're nowhere close to where hip hop is now. Very interesting. He stayed the course. You know,
the thing about it is he's not concerned about. He's always been a person that's always moved forward. You know, hip hop is always moving, looking forward. I feel like in general that's what he's doing. Like he has these things in his life. He has this drive, and he wants to continue to go forward and try to, you know, build these things, you know, essentially be the biggest advocate, you know, to what he enjoys, right?
Yeah.
Grubby and all them guys, how much of these guys are giving back to the game industry?
They're not.
For the most part, for a lot of the time, they're causing a lot of strife within the game industry with the shit that they release, right?
It's true. It's true. I mean, hip-hop's actually going out to the community, giving back, you know? Yeah. I don't see these guys doing it.
I don't see any of those guys doing it. You see cats going on Twitter and shit, begging Sony and Microsoft for fucking shit.
Right? Damn!
You see people like that. Right? Is hip hop doing that? Is he kissing up to these guys saying, "But you should send me this"? No, he's not.
Oh man, man, he went to shots fired, man. That's hip hop too. Shots fired. Pop, 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 pop. Oh man. All right, man. Let's move on here. What do we have left to talk about? Okay, this last stuff's just funny shit. So. We always talk about the Steam collection of shame, right? You know, these games that you just buy, you don't play. Apparently, the numbers were crunched. It turns out that Steam users, this includes, you know, me, Carlos, and Brian, have spent $19 billion on games they've never played. That's insane. These fucking sales, man, I'm telling you, they get you. It was for a dollar? You know,
19 billion.
Hold on, if I buy three of these, I get what? You know,
19 billion titles.
$19 billion.
$19 billion.
That's like the GDP of like a bunch of like countries and shit, you know?
You can't, you can't blame us for the video game industry going down.
You know?
Exactly. You're actually supporting these companies with your sales.
But here's the interesting thing. You have to take into account that only 10% of Steam accounts are public. So it might be even more than that. Way more. Yo, man, it's like trillions of dollars.
I mean, that's precisely. And then when you hear some of these guys saying that Microsoft wants to buy a fucking Valve, what the fucking money?
Yeah,
come on. Number one, Gaben is not going to give up that company especially with that amount of money that they seem to be making up games that people aren't even playing.
And doesn't he hate Xbox now? Or
he doesn't? He's never had any love for Microsoft. He used to work for Microsoft.
Yeah. Okay, I understand what this is. So they did their numbers. This is kind of clever, I guess. So basically, the 19 billion is if you would project it to be 100% of the players. Because if you only take 10%, it's 1.9 billion. So if you times that by 10, you get 19 billion. I could believe that, you know?
Okay. This is an educated guess.
Yeah, but it's a pretty okay, because the 1.9 billion, that's real. That's actually like legit. So if you times that by another, you know, 10 to get 100%, it would be 19. Yeah, so it's projected. So it says right here, that's more than a gross national product of Nicaragua, Niger, Chad, and this Mauritius. That can't be a real country. What the fuck is that?
Oh,
Mauritius.
What's that, Brian?
It's a country somewhere in the world. I don't know what.
It's a country.
Let me look this shit up. I'm like, what the fuck? Are y'all making shit up now? In Latveria, you know?
It's a very common like holiday. Well, I say common. It's a holiday destination that East people Africa. Like the sound of.
Okay, look at that. I never heard of that fucking country.
East Africa?
Yeah, it's an island too. It's an island.
That must be the least well-known African country.
I'm looking. It's in the middle of the fucking ocean.
I know because I know Burundi.
Check it out. So Carlos, I'm looking at the map. You know where Madagascar is, right?
Oh yeah.
It's east of Madagascar. It's a little island. Yeah.
That shouldn't be a country.
It shouldn't. It's
does that mean that Gaben can have his own country?
He can.
Why is it considered part of Africa? It's not.
It's like, because remember, Madagascar is an island, you know? So this is an island off of that, you know? As a matter of fact, Madagascar is closer to Africa than this thing is close to Madagascar. Look this shit up. This is crazy.
Well, you know, do they also adjust the, what do they call it? The Grand Meridian or whatever?
I guess.
But you know, like where the time zone is?
Brian, how do you pronounce it?
Mauritius.
Mauritius. That sounds like a Roman emperor, you know?
I am Mauritius.
Mauritius Maximus.
Mauritius Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Oh, yeah. He said Meridius Mauritius.
Yeah, there Mauritius. Yeah, Maximus Decimus Mauritius. There you go.
Carlos, to further annoy your point that you just made, the Falklands.
Falkland Islands, Argentina. Yeah.
No, they are considered part of the UK.
They are, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh no! But I said they're by Argentina, but they're not. They're not Argentinian.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
No, because you said like why they're considered part of Africa. It's like but the Falklands are like in a different hemisphere to the UK.
So I guess Africa's like, you see that island? No. That's our shit now.
I understand that. I'm just saying, like, as part of a continent, it's sometimes it's got to be close. But
yeah, some of those islands
that is true.
Are like that, where they have different. They have different, like, some places are considered part of different locations, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Asia has, you know, a whole bunch of islands that are nowhere near close to each other.
I like how this turned into, like, a global
geography lesson.
That's fun, though.
Yeah, I used to love social studies.
Yeah, it was a good class,
By the way, Equatorial Guinea is the only African country that had a primary language is Spanish.
Oh, word? Excuse me?
That's because the Spanish one over there, huh?
That's the only one they could get.
That's the only one they could get.
Guinea, yeah, it's the only one. Yeah, remember, like back in those times, like one of the reasons, it was hard to colonize Africa is because the fucking diseases were too brutal, you know. Africa's a hard place, man. Everything. It's like fucking, like, everything wants to kill you. It's like the diseases, the animals, like, it's like everything wants, like basically, like, whatever animal you can think of, there's a, like, the hard difficulty version in Africa. You know? Oh, you got lions? That's cute. Look what we got over here, man. Oh, you got spiders? That's cute. Look what we have here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Australia. Make them, give them a run for their money with
crazy ass animals. Yeah, but look at that. Mauritius. Yeah, all right, cool. There's something new every day. What the fuck is this? Alfred Favre? What the fuck is that? There's some little ass island down south of fucking Africa. Alfred Favre. It's like there's some dude just named after himself.
Yeah, there's Alfred Favre.
I own this island.
Just mine.
This shit's all the way in the middle of nowhere. What ocean is that? It's the Indian Ocean. That's crazy. The world is insane, man.
So a lot we need to discover.
Yeah. When you go down to Antarctica and shit, because that's how far they don't got towns on there. It's just Davis Station, Casey Station. They got the population of Antarctica is like 7, you know?
And they're all researchers.
Yeah, yeah. Look at that. It's just stations. Yeah, they're all stations. Oh, shit, there's one kind of inland. Oh, shit. Respect. Oh. Respect to those motherfuckers. That's where Cthulhu lives, man. You better be careful.
That's where the Mountains of Madness,
you know.
That's where Superman is lair. Is
no, it's, you know, it's in the north. It's in the north. That's north. It's in the Arctic. He's not in Antarctic.
Oh, you said Antarctica?
Yeah, it's Antarctica, yeah. Yeah, they got people living in the Arctic. The Arctic is brutal, but they still got people living there. You got Eskimos and shit. Antarctica is like, nah, son. too brutal. Shout out to, hey, yeah, fucking New Zealand's were on there, isn't it? There you go.
Yeah, there you go. They're closer to Antarctica.
Hey, let's go take a vacation at Antarctica.
Don't they get penguins over there from Antarctica too?
I don't know. To make a good answer, as we was here.
I know
that
South Africa does it.
Yeah.
Y'all got penguins?
Yo, they got penguins.
Antarctica's insane. Look how big this fucking thing is.
Where's Tumeka? We need to know this stuff.
Fucking Argentina.
We'll ask him a question.
I'm looking at the world map right now and shit, you know?
We'll put a question on for him for the next show.
Yeah.
He knows this stuff.
Yeah. All right, man. He's Maori. The last story, this one, and this isn't a rumor, it's confirmed.
Okay.
We're getting a Street Fighter movie in 2026. Did we not learn our lesson from the first two?
Okay.
Fuck it. We had the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. What happened, Manny?
Can we just get an anime movie?
Just like, do that. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, yeah, we had the Street Fighter movie, right? You know, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Then we had the fucking The Legend of Chun-Li. Now we got this shit. Whatever this is going to be. You know? Yeah. So if this is anything like that new Mortal Kombat movie that came out during a pandemic, it'll be trash. You know? No Raul Julia to save it this time. He was good in that movie, man.
Yeah, he knew what he needed to do in that film.
Classic fucking line. You know, for you, it was the worst day of your life. For me, it was Tuesday. Great. For me, it was Tuesday's become the line, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Tuesday to me, you know?
He's like, he didn't even know who she was. He's like, oh, hey, hi, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Didn't even remember her.
When Bison visited glory upon your village.
Yeah, he's like, when Bison came to your town, it was the greatest day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
Yeah. But he paused with, for me, it was Tuesday. What a great line, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find that quote. Tuesday quote. Oh, man. Because it was a whole thing, too, you know?
Well, yeah, because she was crazy. She was mad that she, he killed the family, you know, his family, their father.
Here it is. This is the line. For you, the day Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday. Bison, grace your village.
Grace your village.
Love it. Love it. All right, so there you go. Another Street Fighter movie. I'm not watching. This is probably fucking trash, you know?
Oh, my God. Why?
Like, Capcom, what is you doing?
How not can they even make a good plot out of the game? Because does the Street Fighter games have a storyline, or is it just...
They kind of do. I mean, if just all you need to watch is a Street Fighter 2 animated movie. The Japanese one, you know, subtitled. You don't watch the dubbed one. Do not watch the dubbed one.
Under any circumstances. Don't watch the dubbed one.
But so there's a, you know, basically Brian and Bison wants to take over the world. He gets some fighters together and then they fight and they beat M. Bison.
Okay.
That's pretty
Mortal
much
Kombat.
It. Yeah, Mortal Kombat, pretty much, you know. Except no mortal, you know.
And no fatalities.
And no fatalities, you know. Motherfuckers fight in the streets.
Yo, man, they fight in the streets.
Man, you ever see that comedian? It's like, Street Fighter, that's the most wholesome of video games. He was like, you get your ass whooped and you get told, be a family man. And he's like, could you imagine being one of the people in the background? Oh, shit, they fighting again. I'm just trying to buy this chicken. You know, they're trying to leave stage.
Yeah.
Here they go again. I'm trying to buy my chicken. These motherfuckers fighting. It's hilarious, man. Yeah, he was like, in that game, man, you fight, but you don't kill each other. He's like, you get your ass whooped and you learn a lesson. That was hilarious, man. That was wholesome of video games. All right, man, that's going to do it for us. Another good show. We'll start with you, Manny. Do you have anything to plug? I think you might.
Why, yes, I do. So I've been talking about it. I'm probably going to hear it for a couple more weeks. Yeah, but yeah. On July the 10th will be the release of the IDW TMNT 40th Anniversary Special, of which I and Kari Randolph did a cover. I also drew a cover myself. And we also did a eight-page Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2003 story. For those who don't know, and I probably go on about it a lot, but I actually worked on the series. And this is sort of a, you know, trip backward, where we got together, obviously me and Kari worked for years, but also Lloyd Goldfein, our showrunner and executive producer on the show, who wrote a lot of our show, to do a nice little tribute to our era of turtles. So yeah, that's going to be coming out July the 10th. Also July the 10th, I'm also going to be doing a little something too on my own YouTube channel, which is the live streaming, yes, which is a live Q&A / watching of my 42-minute time-lapse of me drawing my cover. So in other words, I was able to record 40 minutes of me drawing the cover really fast, you know, and then you get to see that. And you also guys can ask any sort of Ninja Turtle questions and also any other questions. It's just, you know, pretty casual on my channel. So yeah, you know, stay tuned for that. You know, I put a little advertisement for it on my Twitter account, which you can see right there. Okay. And at Eman Land, for those of you listening, at EMANNLAND. So, yeah, so there's lots of fun stuff coming up in the future. And, yeah, that's about it for now.
Good stuff. And, Rich, what's going on with the coalition?
Yeah, so I'm still working on quite a bit of things that I have seen and played during Summer Games Fest. So I would definitely encourage you all to stay tuned. Check out the website. I can officially say now that I will be going to PAX West.
Ooh.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend, Seattle. So maybe
I'm going when I left.
Well, say what?
You going to Seattle once I leave?
You could stick around a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't you?
Well, we need to talk about that, Carlos. I didn't even know you were still going to be there. So yeah, let's talk about that. But yeah, I will be there. That's around Labor Day weekend. So looking forward to that. I don't really know what I'll get out of that show, but I went to my first one a couple of years ago. It was really good. So stay tuned for that.
Was that the one in Boston? Oh no, you went to PAX. You've been
this
to PAX.
This is West.
This is West.
This is West. I did go to East. You know, we did go to East. I remember Tony went to East too.
Yeah.
Yep. It used to be good. I don't know if it's good anymore because you know. I haven't been there, you know, but next year, maybe it will be good. We'll have to wait and see. But no, stay tuned. We got a lot of content coming to thecoalition.com.
Nice. Manny, no Seattle trip for you? You did one last year.
No, not this year. It's a little bit of a lot of things going on. So, yeah, no Seattle this year.
I think you even did a throwdown episode while you were out there. We saw your background and stuff. It was kind of like you started there, like when the sun was going down. So we saw it gradually go down. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. This time around, we're not going to be heading over to Seattle. But it was, you know, it was nice to go and check it out. I actually never had gone to a PAX before. One thing I would say to Rich, if you've been to the PAX West, there's a lot of walking. There's at least two buildings. When I went this year, they actually relegated to a new convention center that's a little bit further away from the main convention center. So they had this one that was a little that they had just built, which everything that was packed was relegated to that window, to that place. But then they also had the Nintendo Live event, which was in the other the main convention center. So I don't know if Nintendo is going to be doing that again, but they did it last year.
Interesting. Yeah, check that out.
Pretty cool. All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And thank you for everybody that watched this on YouTube. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live every Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. You can also find us on every podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. And you can also listen to past episodes by going to throwdownshow.com. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time. By the way, throw down your questions. Carlos.
Yeah, that is interesting. you know, same difference. Right.
Wait. Give me a second.
Before the show ends, change that shit. There you go. All right. Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
It turns out that it's quite easy not messaging underage children. I've been doing it all my life.
Pretty easy, you know? Oh, my God. All right, guys. Yeah, it's simple, you know? Fucking degenerates. All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Later.